Welcome to IMTV. I'm Alan Keyes, and this is Let's Talk America. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the things that I think is most critical to the future of our country, and that is already determining it, and that's education. Sad to say, a lot of forces are at work who are promoting approaches to education and have been for decades that absolutely contradict the requirements for developed character and moral understanding that are a prerequisite of the success of our self-government. Aside from the fact that these things can detract from practical performance in economic and other terms, they utterly unfit people for citizenship in any society where they have to take responsibility for the whole instead of responding to totalitarian dictates. I'm going to be talking with someone who has a lot to say on those issues right after we come back.
We are raising a generation of young people who believe that as Americans, we have no ground for moral agreement.
Want more IMTV episodes? We are now streaming through Roku. Roku is a device that enables you to stream entertainment to your TV through your internet provider. The starting price is only $29, and you can purchase one either online or through your local electronics retailer. It's easy to use, and you won't have to worry about missing any more IMTV episodes. IMTV, changing the world.
Welcome back. Today my guest is somebody who has a lot of experience and background thinking about and dealing with medicine from a perspective, homeopathic medicine, that is not only unique but also has deep roots in the experience of humankind. He's somebody who has written books, he's a teacher, he's somebody who I think is trying to educate people in this society, not only about their health but about the prerequisites of a healthy society, especially one that is hoping to secure self-government. He has an awareness of some of the things being done, Agenda 21, other elements that are being done to undermine the preparation of future generations for the task of upholding our liberty and constitutional self-government. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. I'm so honored to be with you. And so excited because I love when you talk about the Constitution, which is all the time, which is great. And I talk about it too from a perspective of health. How can a nation that ignores its constitution expect to be viable? Mm-hmm. How can a human being that ignores his or her own constitution be viable? Mm-hmm. And so very much like we have to honor and, you know, obey what has been inspired by God, I believe, our bodies are a very sacred gift. And unfortunately, the owner's manual was discarded and replaced by those who are interested in poisoning us.
Yes.
Away from the reality that we have the ability to take care of ourselves and one another without intervention by licensed representatives of the medical police state.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call doctors.
See, and I think that what you have just put together is sensible because one of the key ways in which you can end up controlling people. Mm. And to tell you the truth, ironically, it's actually illustrated by the experience of Christ. One of the most impressive things he did to gather folks so they would listen to what he had to say and accept what he has to say was healing.
Yes.
Healing has always been a powerful path to get people's attention, to get them to open up their hearts, to get them to understand that this way lies health in a whole range of senses. And that's a prerequisite if you're to maintain the health of family, society, and obligation, which I think is a part of all human responsibility. If you had to rate the situation of our society at the moment in this respect, what would you say, and what are some of the major problem areas you see?
Well, we've descended into what I call the United States of Drug America. We have now abandoned our gift of life itself and turned it over to an elite kind of ruling class that are also tools of another agenda to disconnect us from God, to disconnect us from the voice of Spirit. Because when we are filled with toxic poisons, and this could be the food choices that we're making that we're ignorant of, because our mothers and fathers, their grandmother, their grandpa, going way back, the food was food. Now we have to designate certain names for food, organic food, right? When it used to be food. Now they're genetically, I call them genetically modified abominations. They come GMOs, but they're abominable what man is doing in his arrogance to try and out-create the Creator. This is, and you think that there are not going to be any negative consequences of that? So I look, and I love what you said about reaching out through healing, because that was my message that I got through from Spirit. It's like, speak to them about healing, because you know there are a lot of people that need this message that may have disagreements with me or you politically or otherwise. They have different views. But when it comes to healing, they're drawn in and say, you know, I want to feel good. I want my children to be healthy. And so we were able to make a bridge for them to come to this understanding and then to begin to live differently, because I think we're asked to do so. It isn't just a matter of, I pray for good health. If we do nothing to change what is required of us, which we could go back into the Bible and say there were rules for eating. Now, they didn't talk about non-GMO foods. I don't think they had to, because we weren't doing it back then. But poisoning the food, that was a concept. How do you eat clean food? We obviously have to bring the language perhaps up to date with the technology that has happened. And so honoring our Constitution, honoring this temple, means we have to choose things that will honor our body.
Now, what do you think that you got special insights from the knowledge you spent time gaining of the homeopathic approach? Because I think that part of the problem, it's only part of it, as we approach the health issue these days, is that we have forgotten that there were different ways of understanding and approaching health. And that those different ways didn't all of them involve what essentially amounts to an adversarial understanding of nature. That's at what is at the bottom of modern empirical science. It's proven effective in some ways. But in other ways, we've had a tendency to discard the previous understandings that were based on what I think is in some ways a more logical approach, which is to assume that the Creator made the world in such a way that we are to live in harmony with it, and that the possibility of doing that is there through all kinds of things that are presented to us as part of our ordinary function, including, of course, our diet. So was that important? Was that kind of difference of perspective important in your grasp of the challenges we're faced with now?
Certainly. I was raised pharmaceutically. I was in a medical family. My father was in the pharmaceutical industry. His brother, my uncle, was a doctor, medical doctor. And I always knew I would grow up to be that. But I only had one model for that. And that drugging me, which I was, because I was one of the canaries in the coal mine of my generation. Ailment after ailment after ailment, met with drug after drug after drug. By the time I was a teenager praying to God, why me, O Lord, what can I do to get out of this? The doctors don't seem to know what to do to help me. And finally, I kind of hit that last moment where the doctors, I had had been surgery, I'd had allergy shots for years, every medication you can throw at all kinds of inflammatory conditions. And I asked the doctors painfully, please, is there something? I've been with you my whole life. You've given me drugs. You've done all of these things. Will I ever be well? And they said, we don't even really know why you're sick. And that, of course, it a confidence booster, it wasn't.
Exactly.
I said, well, if you don't know why I'm sick, why am I doing all these things? You're telling me drug, you know. And I was, I think they saw it on my face. It was a moment of epiphany. It's like, I don't think I'm coming back unless I break an arm and I need it set, right? And they said, but wait, there's good news. There's hope for you. I'm like, I've been waiting 19 years for that good news. What is it? And then they said, maybe one day you'll grow out of it. That was it for me. I'm like, if I wanted to go to medical school to be able to tell somebody one day they might cry, I would be miserable. This is not helpful. And so I had, at that point, my dreams of being a doctor were dashed, because it's like, that is not what I dreamed of doing. Healing really meant helping and empowering. And I felt everything but empowered. I felt disempowered. I was a victim. And because I've had grandparents and aunts and uncles die of chronic diseases, cancers, neurological things, Parkinson's, and what I knew of their childhood, because I love my elders, and I always asked them, what was it like when you were a child? I wanted to know. I was so fascinated. None of them were ill. They were all healthy children. They were healthy adults. And then later on in life, they got sick. Me, I started sick. I thought, the writing's on the wall. I can see by my 40s, I'll be ravaged with cancer as my elders in their 70s were. So back to God, please help me. But I don't know what to do. I don't want to be a doctor like that.
And what came as the answer to that in terms of the path that you've been following?
Well, quite honestly, it was a deeper understanding of my relationship with God and following principles that were not in medicine, even though, again, I know there's a place for modern medicine, but unfortunately, the allopathic, as it's called, variety is often antagonistic, as right. you mentioned. It's fighting against, and there's a place for fighting, a time for that, but there's also a time for how do we honor creation and allow its brilliance and majesty to do what it does. Mm-hmm. So I had to get deeply rooted in these concepts and principles, and then one day, you've heard this, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. That's an old adage. Yeah. And that happened four or five years later. A homeopathic doctor from Belgium who immigrated to America because he said, I want to start a laboratory in America. You know how the European immigrants say, I can do something here. Homeopathy had been almost lost in America due to the Flexner Report of 1910. Going back into the history, it's part of the book I wrote with Ty Bollinger, went into that history. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know of the word homeopathy. And I began to study under him and with 10 plus years later, you know, I was going out to the world communicating to my fellow Americans something that had been lost, that I had never known. Yeah. So it became a mission that there was another form of medicine I had no idea about. But you're right, the history of America is rife with natural medicine. Mm. It is not foreign to our way of life and our history, but we've lost our stories. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back to a series of books by Harris Coulter called Divided Legacy.
Yeah.
You can work out with these books, you'll get really big and strong. I mean, it's the unabridged version of real medical history of America. And I was stunned and shocked to find out that in the Civil War, that they call it, the soldiers carried homeopathic field medicine kits. Mm-hmm. I would go to Civil War museums in the South where I grew up many years. I had no idea there were homeopathic remedies in there. It was like it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Who erased history?
Yeah.
How did we get here? And that's how.
Well, I think we can see a little something of the mentality that may have led to it in the fact that now when people start reporting from their experience, their involvement with certain natural substances that then has a healing effect, right? Chlorine dioxide and things like this that are out there. And there have been reports and anecdotal things, even some tests done that show that this has an effect that can cure malaria, remove the malaria parasite. But then when folks start to try to pursue it more systematically, I've seen several reports that some of the big institutional medical things, including the International Red Cross, the pharmaceutical companies, they do the best they can to stop it.
Oh yeah.
So that they're discouraging it. And I imagine as the sort of modern empirical scientific approach was taking root and they were trying to sell themselves and impose themselves in some cases on people in the United States, they would have done the same thing, no? Try to keep out or drive out.
Yes, yes.
What people had relied upon before. What price did we pay for that, the success of that, in terms of eliminating our consciousness of what benefits there were in the alternative approaches?
Well, we could look at the rate of chronic disease, which, you know, if we talk about the controversy of vaccination, you can claim that we have seen a elimination, eradication of, name the disease. And I would dispute it and say they've renamed it, that it still exists and it's altered in a certain way. But the reality is we've traded these acute infections that could be managed with things in nature. In fact, silver is the most potent antimicrobial substance on the planet and can be utilized safely and effectively. Mm-hmm. And so we can overcome the things that are so scary even without those things. But we trade chronic disease. And these chronic diseases are the most bankrupting diseases because they're lifelong, debilitating diseases. And now instead of looking to God and creation and the messages that we would get to live differently, we begin to rely as if we have deficiencies in synthetic chemicals patented by man and his arrogance, as if they would replace the healing of creation, the food, the minerals, the sustenance. And because we, it takes years to develop. Sometimes now it's cross-generationally. We don't recognize cause and effect. And when we're removed from that, we can be deceived easily. That there is no known cause, like the doctor said, we don't know why, but keep taking this substance, keep getting these injections. So we've abandoned spirit and the messages we're always getting, and we go to poisons that have a place to get out of immediate crisis. Mm-hmm. But in the treatment of the diseases we see today, which are largely chronic neurological degradations, cancers, right. immune collapse, we are looking to man's arrogance rather than God's wisdom.
Well, today I was having a conversation with someone about one of the other speakers here, about the changes that have occurred in our electromagnetic environment.
Yes, yes. Right?
And the kinds of, there's been a dramatic increase in various diseases, some new ones coming forward, or at least new classes of disease coming forward, and they seem traceable to things that then are going to be related to areas mm-hmm. that it seems like natural substances would have something to do with the response. Could it be that if we can begin to regain our understanding of that alternative path
yes.
that we discarded in order to pursue the benefits of modern empirical medical practice, that we would be able to start dealing with some of the things that are also going to be consequences of our scientific technological advances?
Yes.
Because we are now exposed to a variety of electromagnetic radiation like nothing any human beings in the world before would have experienced. We moved through a kind of electromagnetic soup. And now they're starting to scratch the surface of knowing what harm this is causing and the whole huge variety of diseases. If you were to think about some of the homeopathic approaches that you know of that might have a place in a practice that was trying to regain the application of their efficacy to the new challenges that are emerging and some of the systemic challenges that we have developed as a result of the change in our human environment through human technology and products and practices. What do you think are some of the major ones that you see out there?
Well, we can remediate the impact, the effects of like electromagnetic radiation, these frequencies that are very discordant. When they enter our bodies, they create inflammation. They can create DNA damage, alteration of chromosomes, in fact. So homeopathically and holistically, we know what reduces inflammation. So we can remediate. But I'm more interested in if we're going to advance technology, and I'm not opposed to technology. It's just when the consciousness is not understanding the consequence of bringing it out, right? We're not looking into what are the negative effects and can we remediate or mediate them? We have out of Germany, that's where homeopathy originated and it became widespread around the world and even in America. A scientist that I met recently has developed a technology that produces a torus field of electrons, negative ions, in an environment, saturating that environment so fully, entering the human body and down to the mitochondrial, the benefit that it provides. But most importantly, coding every living thing in that environment or field. So in the midst of even 5G, these non-ionizing radiation that cause inflammation and even DNA damage, it interacts with the ions, the electrons, on your skin, on your surface, stops them there. And we are seeing tremendous benefit. First double-blind placebo-controlled studies showing with human biomarkers accepted by even the empiric medicine of today that it does, before the damage occurs, stop it from happening.
Yeah.
So there is a counterbalance to it, but not typically embraced because there's so much money and liability involved on the side of those that create the technology without looking at this or not caring for it, that we have to utilize things like the Red Pill Expo, your show, my show, to communicate things that are not largely presented at all in a fair or balanced way in the mainstream media, as we know.
Well, this seems a little strange to me, though, because now some anxiety is developing about this 5G thing, and people are even thinking of it in the context of the international competition, shall we call it, though it really amounts at some levels to just ongoing subtle warfare.
Yes.
With the Chinese, with other people, where they're starting to fear the introduction of these innovations and the manipulation that might be involved, intending to weaken us for the future. Do we have to be afraid of these things, or do you think, I mean, what you just described sounds like the sort of thing that you would want to look at, see how you can apply it
yes.
So as to make our bodies safe.
Yes.
For what our technologies are now capable of. Is that possible?
Amen, brother. That's what I'm talking about. We don't have to stop progress in the sense of technological advancements that are brilliant and can enhance life. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how can we, if we don't look honestly about the risks and the dangers, innovate? Because I think we have amazing, unlimited almost capacity to innovate when we're inspired. But when we're driven by fear not to look, or forcefully, violently repressed from investigating honestly, openly, with integrity and scientific integrity, to endeavor to do the things that, you know, I try to find, like you do, to interview folks that are doing wonderful things despite the scaries, the big scaries. So I don't look at this as fearfully, because I know there's a way to remediate almost anything we can imagine, even ionizing radiation. But the question is, will we open ourselves up to real scientific endeavor that is rooted in spiritual principle? Because if we abandon that, then the science becomes very dangerous and destructive.
You know, what we've been talking about in terms of the resistance that seems to exist in the contemporary health sector to what would appear to be the normal curiosity of science, that if you see something going on, it looks like it could be understood in a way that's helpful to improve a situation of health, you then try to apply the systematic methods of science to understand the whys and wherefores and then proceed with it. I think, sadly, a couple of things have corrupted that, but the most important one seems to be that the old understanding of the healing profession doesn't now govern what is, in fact, the research and development side of medicine. That was an understanding based on the notion in the old Hippocratic Oath to do no harm.
Yes.
And
yes.
A lot of people assume that that's still the mentality of the medical profession. How has that changed?
Well, it was abandoned when they abandoned spirit, when they recognized prior in history of medicine and healers. I mean, they were very appreciated in any given community, but they recognized that the flow, the life force, was the essence of our very existence. And when they abandoned that, then they could abandon the principle of do no harm. And then they began to harm as the very first thing they did. And I don't know that they intended to on the average healer that was drawn into it, as I was drawn into healing. But when I realized what they were doing to me in the treatment, quote unquote, of my diseases and ailments and illnesses, I realized I could not fathom doing that to anyone else. And that was my stop point, where I didn't know what my future held, because I had it in my vision what it would be, what I was here to do. And so I had to be open up to other paths of healing that still honored that old principle and tradition, that recognized that spirit imbues us with the life and that we are guided from there. And yes, we learn about physicality, but it is not in existence without that flow, that life force, that life energy.
And of course, that connection with the spiritual was also a connection with the premise of one's practice, which even in pagan times, they were looking to a divine source. And in the way that that then translated into Christian terms, you're looking to God.
Yes.
And you are understanding life as a precious gift of God, something then entrusted to the care of all human beings, but to the special care of those who have made it their vocation to understand what enhances life, what can heal life, what can promote health and strength. Once you remove that, it then makes it possible, since there is no governing authority, it makes it possible for you to ally yourself with sectors. And I think that's what has happened. Instead of being dedicated to that do no harm healing premise, medicine now places itself under the authority of corporate entities, and their job isn't really to heal, their job is to make money. Their job is to succeed in a sense that doesn't have anything to do with that mission and is therefore devoid of respect
for that
spiritual understanding.
And the result has been that, according to the peer-reviewed medical literature, they've become the third leading cause of death in America specifically, but in the West. And I would argue it could be the first, because it causes the first and second, their medicines being so toxic and dangerous. And so what do I perceive is the real role of a healer? To reconnect, if you call it the patient, to spirit, because that's what does the healing. Yes, there's physicality involved, but it's directed all the time. But those messages were shut down when they became collectivist, reductionist, you know, biochemical, the body is just a lump of material.
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me, though, Since we're a little bit out of time, we'll have to take this home, I guess, a little bit. But the thing that I find interesting in what you said is that when you look at the things that are now coming forward in terms of the advances in physics, biochemistry and other material things are being influenced by an understanding of what lies at the further depth behind that.
Yes.
In quantum mechanical terms, and you're dealing with things that blur the distinction between energy and between wave and particle, mm-hmm. between energy as such and material things.
Yes.
And therefore, when you take it the one step beyond, you are getting into the realm where understanding in a spiritual sense is almost indistinguishable from what is being talked about at the cutting edge of our exploration of the physical world. And bringing us back to a cycle that then aims, I think, or at least starts to point us in the direction of reestablishing that old connection, which would also mean reintroducing the God-respecting discipline that put life ahead of any other benefit and made the medical profession subject to an ethos that, in a sense, had to be its own director, mm-hmm. could not look to some other premise. Do you think that this portends maybe the final emancipation once again of the medical ethic, the moral and spiritual understanding at the heart of healing, to emancipate it from what has become a kind of gross subservience to aims and end that can actually lead you to cross the line? And since you're going to get more profit out of leaving people to hurt for a while, you'll do it. And I think that spirit now seems to be pretty much widespread in the pharmaceutical industry, but we need to get away from it. Could we rediscover it if we start to really take seriously some of the aspects of our new knowledge that are pointing in the direction of the need to return to that spirituality?
I believe that's the only way the medical profession can redeem itself and the individuals within it. And I feel for the doctors, I really do, because most of them went in with the heart of a healer like I have. And they, somewhere along the line, got lost. And they're under an obligation to reconnect as well as reconnect their patients. And if they don't come back to that, then of course the crumbling, the complete destruction of that profession will be inevitable, and it will be through their own action or inaction in this case. So I am all for supporting the reintroduction of the spirit into that profession, and I speak to doctors all over the world about this, so I'm just honored that we could discuss it today.
Well, yes, indeed, and I think that it leaves us with a conclusion, because it looks like in our discussion of the constitution of our polity, we are always finding ourselves returning to those premises that point us to God. And guess what? Today we sit here talking about what is necessary to honor in the healing profession the dedication to respect the integrity of the God-endowed constitution of our flesh, of our bodies, and it's leading us in the same direction. They used to have a saying in ancient times, all paths lead to Rome. I think we are now rediscovering the truth that maybe the founders of the United States knew. At the end of the day, all paths, whatever you're exploring in this human life, all paths lead to God. And if you want to stay on the right path, you try to figure out how the path you're on is connected with that ultimate goal. I think we'll find it in healing, we find it in politics. Here at IMTV, we think you're going to find it everywhere. That's why we ponder it seriously. And we'll do more if you join us again here at Let's Talk America.
We are raising a generation of young people who believe that as Americans, we have no ground for moral agreement.
Want more IMTV episodes? We are now streaming through Roku. Roku is a device that enables you to stream entertainment to your TV through your internet provider. The starting price is only $29, and you can purchase one either online or through your local electronics retailer. It's easy to use, and you won't have to worry about missing any more IMTV episodes. IMTV, changing the world.